hello and welcome to the After the Sermon podcast. This is a Bethany Church podcast, and my name is Joe, and I'm joined by Tammy DeLau.
Hey.
Hey. And also Pastor Dave Baxley, who preached this week. We're continuing the sermon series in him, and it's very exciting. And I think it's good so far.
So far, yes. It's good. You know, we've had two out of however many, but yeah, so far. Yeah, we're excited about the series. Dad mentioned that last week too, how I mentioned this at the beginning of my message that that excited not just for the series, but for the timing of it. It's been really cool the last couple of years seeing how 1 Peter was so the right sermon series for a lot of the stuff we were going through as a church at the time, but preparing us, and then to hit Philippians and to see how that really challenged us in some really difficult times in light of COVID and Daniel, and how God radically was using that during the season of election on how we are as, like, citizens and all that stuff. It's been so cool to see how all that has worked in God's timing. God's word is always going to do something, but to see how it's so significant, because a book has a lot of information in it, how the whole book almost has fit just where we're going in life right now as a church. It's been cool to see God's grace. Just his grace to speak so clearly to lead us in that. And what's really cool about Colossians, the first time I put Colossians on a, I actually put together the series like back in April, and we were working with where to go in the summer, and we really felt like God was. I put together the Colossians and Philippians series. We ended up going Philippians, and that was where God wanted us without a doubt. And so this just all of a sudden came up. Like, well, hey, I have a Colossians series, you know, like, and so when we started citing on Colossians, Billy's like, so you finally get to do Colossians, huh? But I am really excited about it because it's. Tammy, you mentioned like it's a book that like not as studied as much in your own life.
I feel like I've had the privilege as I've sat here that I have dug into Daniel and I've dug into Peter and Philippians and all those things.
Like before we preach, though.
Yeah, this is one where there is not a study. I mean, as I choose to read through the Bible, I've read it. It's not words I've not seen, but as far as digging in, so I am just having a ton of fun. Feel like everything's popping and neon all the time, and it's really exciting. So.
Well, and that's part of my testimony too. Is I think it was, and going through somehow all the epistles. I think for some reason I had done deep studies and all of them but Colossians at one point before a year ago, and so the same thing. It was like, whoa, holy cow! There's so much stuff here. And one of the things that we really felt like when we were first looking at it, as we look at the series of who is God calling Bethany to be. How does this speak to who we are? And this week we get into, at the very beginning, Paul beginning to talk to the church, and he starts to celebrate them. He's like, I thank God for your reputation and for what they're known for, because this is a church that he actually did not plant and did not go to.
Because the way he talks about it, I've heard about your love for each other.
Yeah, and Paul heard reports from churches he had planted and things like that, but he didn't plant this church.
Interesting.
Wow. He had never been there. He's writing to encourage them, even though he had never met them.
That makes his passion and his prayer all the more beautiful, because these were not people that he knew.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
And so, which makes the reputation piece even
bigger.
Even bigger, right? So the reports Paul is hearing, the reputation of the church in this city was beginning to echo back to his ears, where he wanted to write them a letter and also, you know, give them some warnings. And there were some things coming up that he was hearing too that he wanted them to watch out for. But to begin with this piece of this reputation side of it, and what they were known for is huge, but not just what they were known for. The thing that really jumped out to me is the why. The why piece. So Joe's known for being funny. Joe's
I'm a funny fella.
Tammy is known for the sweetness of how she says little lambs.
Words of life.
Words of life. And we're not mocking. but like the reputation of those things, but we don't often ask why. Like, why is that who you are? And then Paul comes back and he references the gospel. And that was a big focus as we got into the message. And I want to hang out there a little bit, because verses 3-8 could have been their own message alone. Tammy really wishes it was its own message. Yeah.
I do.
I've heard that.
I would have written a different sermon.
I've heard that about a few different times. And it originally was, so I'm just going back to, it feels like God brought these pieces together, so I'm going to go with that for
now. You're doing it right. This is good.
I agree with you. When Thad and I first put together an outline, we both had it 3-8 as its own independent, and through a couple different reasons, brought them together again and all of that. But because there's so much to say, and I asked the question, the message, what is the gospel? There's a little book I have. It's a black book. My dad gave it to me years ago. And it's not super thick or anything, but the title of the book is just, What is the Gospel? And I remember thinking to myself when he first gave it to me, this was years and years ago, how is it that thick?
Because it's the good news.
But what is the gospel?
Right?
Like I think, you guys correct me, usually if I ask someone what the gospel is, and you would ask me at one point, I would have referred to salvation. The gospel is the good news that Jesus, that God sent Jesus to earth, that he lived a perfect life and he died on the cross for my sins and rose again so that I could be reconciled with God through what Jesus did. That's the gospel.
Yeah.
Right? Would you guys? I think what Paul is getting to here is the gospel is so much more than that. Like, that's the beginning story of the gospel. And that's what this book, and as I've studied the gospel over the last many years, I haven't actually got to preach on this, but I feel like God's been working in me and preparing me for that, because as I've looked at what the gospel is, even if we start with Colossians alone, and we just ask that question of what does Paul say the gospel is, it's more than just, it's centered on Jesus. I love that, right? It is all about Jesus, but it really comes back to, in some ways, the poem that Thad preached on a few weeks ago. It is, the gospel is the understanding that everything is centered on Jesus.
Yeah.
It's all about him, by him,
through him, and
through him. But there's so much, that's not just salvation. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more.
Okay, until you're going to say something, sorry.
No.
I was like trying to slow down enough so I didn't just keep preaching it over and over again, because I'm so passionate about it. But I think more is, as Paul says, this is how the gospel is impacting your life every day, I think was a big thing that jumped out to me.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel is bearing fruit.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel in our lives, because, and Paul words this in some of his other letters, he doesn't just say you were saved, you're being saved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There is a constant work of God, that the gospel is meant to not be a momentary experience or encounter, but meant to be something that, because of that first experience and encounter,
mm-hmm.
we continue to experience the power of God in our lives because we know him more and more through mm-hmm. what Jesus did at the beginning of the gospel.
So just this morning when I was thinking about coming and doing this, and I always have analogies with children, so I apologize, but that's been my life.
Little lamb story?
Not a little lamb story.
Oh, okay.
16-year-old driving stories.
So, they're no longer lambs at 16.
No, they're not. But I'm wondering, as you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, you're absolutely right. We think of this, the good news, and we're saved, and we have heaven, and that is important.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we even forget about that, and we take our eyes, you know, off of that. But as we're driving and as we're focusing on that and we keep our eyes on that, it does affect what our course looks like. If we're looking to the left, if we're looking to the right, we're weaving. And so I hear what you're saying. It's like the gospel affects everything. It's affecting our future, but it's the good news is affecting our today and what that looks like, how we live life. So does that analogy work with what you're saying, that it's not just the ending point?
But, yeah, I think that's... It's when we cannot see through the middle of what's right in front of us and just that moment, and we don't see what's ahead, how do we anticipate how to react?
Mm-hmm.
How do we anticipate how to respond? The gospel is not just that Jesus saves us, but part of the gospel is that Jesus also said, in this life, you're going to have troubles, but take heart, I've overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the gospel is that in this life, you will have troubles, and I have overcome. Every time there's a good news, there's a bad news piece to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the gospel is a reminder of every bit of good news that Jesus has, that he has for us, not just in salvation, but in what happens in my relationships at work, and my relationships with my wife and my kids, and mm-hmm. and when the word of God is coming through and it says it won't return void. That's a promise that says even in the hardest times, you didn't see it right now, God's promise says because of the power of the gospel, there will be something. There'll be fruit. That hitting that in Romans 8, and he took us through that passage. That is the message of the gospel right there, is that God is always at work to do something. So when things aren't good and seem painful and seem difficult, the gospel's at work. And so, and you said this when we were just chatting in your office, I think yesterday, how the gospel, and that's what Paul says here, reminds them of the hope. Mm-hmm. And the hope can't be about
right now.
Mm-mm. It has to be about where we're, in fact, it might even not even be what you can see. Mm-hmm. When we're driving, I don't see usually where I'm going. Mm-hmm. If I'm going home and I'm ready to get home tonight, I'm excited to get to see my son, see my wife, have dinner together. I pass through a lot of lights. Mm-hmm. I hit some traffic. I get frustrated. I'm like, why is this taking so long? You know, someone's going like 10 miles under the speed limit. That's why I don't have a fish on my car to tell anybody I'm a Christian when I'm driving for the sake of the gospel. But anyways, with all of that, like, we don't see the destination. So my knowing and my faith and my hope and what that destination is helps me walk and do, I think, what some of the other things as we get into the sections, and mm-hmm. if you heard this one, we talked about patience and endurance, mm-hmm. giving thanks in all circumstances. Mm-hmm. I can only do that when I understand where that final destination is, even when I can't see it. Mm-hmm. When I'm stuck at a red light and the power goes out and they're blinking, I'm going to be there for 15 minutes doing that whole stop, the mm-hmm. stop sign approach at a red light situation. Hope is, but this isn't forever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's something else coming because of what Jesus did and is still doing in me right now as I sit at this red light.
And it's having like that eternal mindset of, yes, I'm going home, and you know that your home is over there, but that guides you on where to go, on where to take a left or a right. And it's almost like the gospel is pointing you to heaven, and it tells you where to go, whether you go left or right, because you're on this journey to home. So the gospel is something that we need in and through and part of our lives as we're
going. I just hear you, if we go with the car analogy, the gospel not only tells us the final destination, but it's the GPS for how we get to that final destination. And it warns us. Construction delays are coming. it warns us, like the blizzard. Mm-hmm. But it's still stay the point. I still remember worst driving experience of my life. I was going out to teach at a conference at a church in South Dakota. I was speaking at a worship seminar at a church, and out there. And I left La Crosse in April. It was like April 26th, in shorts and a T-shirt. And all of a sudden, I did not see it coming, but I'm crossing the Minnesota border or Minnesota into South Dakota, and there's a blizzard. Ooh. I mean, like, worst blizzard I've ever driven in my life. But I had to keep my focus on that God had put me on a mission, mm-hmm. that I did not expect this blizzard. But I, if you know me driving in snow, that is my anxiety in life. That is my thing.
White knuckles.
Oh, yes. Yeah, very much so. Like, and you know what? I even actually had to pull over. I didn't make it that night. Like, it was so bad. I actually had to pull over and stay somewhere that night. They were shutting down the highways and stuff. But it's easy to lose hope in that. If it wasn't for knowing that I knew that God was with me, mm-hmm. And knowing that God had called me to go to this place, mm-hmm. so he was going to make my path straight to get there, mm-hmm. and that it wasn't going the way I wanted to. I was frustrated. Actually, because of something in the snow, my car got damaged. So as I'm driving to the conference, I had to drop it off at a mechanic in the city in South Dakota, and then someone from the church had to come pick me up. Like, but that's, the gospel still kept me focused. It was leading my steps, but even where the gospel leads us sometimes is painful.
But the beautiful thing about that is that you knew you needed to get there, and you had the endurance to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. So often, we know where we need to go. We know heaven is, in the future, but we don't want to keep going. We don't have
endurance. Oh, that's a good word, yes.
We don't have the endurance to keep doing it. And we know from the prayer, we get that endurance from the Holy Spirit. That is a gift from God. But I think it's just so easy to cross our arms and give up sometimes.
So how do we tap into that endurance? Like, because I think you're speaking to what most people, the realism of this.
I was thinking, even when you were in the GPS analogy, it's like, okay, that's great. And, I am directionally challenged, and don't tell me to go north or south, right or left, or whatever I need to do. But for some of us, just that hope, knowing that that's there, we may have lost the way. We may not see that. And so having brothers and sisters that I walk with, and they have the hope, and they remind me, keeps me on track too. So yeah. The importance of relationships, the importance of...
Grow groups.
Of, yeah, the importance of grow groups. Because, you, yes. see the, because yeah. you see the love in that. Like someone can hold your arms up when, you know, so yes, we read the word, we come here, we hear truth in scripture, we spend time in prayer. I have a group of, I think, 8 ladies every week. We give our prayer requests and then the attribute that we've seen in the Lord this week. And I just cool. felt convicted, like, man, if I never collect another prayer request or ever share another one, if that prayer is prayed over me and I pray that prayer over my brothers and sisters, that is a good prayer. Like,
it's
you know,
prayer
like
right here in Colossians.
Yes, yes. That prayer is a good yeah. prayer. So, yeah.
Well, I think that's so, and then Paul comes in the second half of the scripture and he's building from what he has said. He's saying, all right, I've seen this in you. I know your reputation. Mm-hmm. I've seen that you are able to have the reputation of a loving people, of a hopeful people, of a faith-driven people. And he paints that picture so well because of the gospel. Like, I see that that is yours. That is what's bearing fruit. I see it. He says, I see it bearing fruit over the mm-hmm. world. I see it bearing fruit in you. But then he says, but yet I still have to keep praying for you. Mm-hmm. For this reason, since the day we have heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. And we are asking, and this is the foundation of the whole mm-hmm. second part of the message, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, mm-hmm. so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing to him. Just those two phrases alone, I mm-hmm. think, are the summary, I think, of how the gospel is meant to impact us post the moment of salvation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's supposed to be something that is empowering us to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. We talked about how there's a distinctive difference between just knowledge and knowledge of God's will. Mm-hmm. I shared the story of a guy that I love so much. He's become such a good friend. I've only known him for like a year and a half now. But when I met him, he wasn't a believer. He started coming to our grow group, but he wasn't a believer yet. Mm-hmm. And but the dude knew the Bible. Like, I would not have necessarily known that if I just was based off his knowledge. Mm-hmm. The dude had read the whole Bible through. He knew it. He had studied it. He had a history there. He'd even gone to school and read some stuff and studied some stuff, I thought, at one point. And, but yet, he had the knowledge of God out of the Bible, but not God's will, because he had not yet surrendered his life to Christ. Mm-hmm. But as he started to seek not just the knowledge of God, but God's will, and the Holy Spirit started working with him, then he surrenders like the first piece of the gospel, but then the power of the gospel keeps working his life, because now as we're doing life together and we're in the grow group together, now we're saying, so what does it mean now to the second part of Paul's prayer, with wisdom and understanding of the God's will, mm-hmm. which is so essential. Joe, we talked about yeah. in our Bible studies, where maybe we should even come back to that a little bit. Now I can walk worthy. Mm-hmm. And the walking part, that's the evidence of the gospel's transformational power in our lives. Mm-hmm. This is a tough thing to say, and hear me, Grace, because we all have where we're struggling and weakening. So this is not, when I make the statement, this is not to say any sin in our life. Mm-hmm. But if we look at our lives, we're honest about maybe what our reputation would be. Mm-hmm. If our reputation is not somehow connected to the gospel, somehow connected to who Jesus is, we may want to ask the question, did the gospel ever change me?
Mm-hmm. That's a good
did I ever experience a trend? That's not a judgment. In fact, I think it can be very freeing, because if you're struggling to walk and you're like, I can't seem to do this, then maybe the question really is, maybe I haven't fully surrendered. Mm-hmm. Maybe I haven't given myself over to Christ, mm-hmm. to his power over mine, to his will. I may know it. I may know what he says, but maybe I haven't surrendered over to his will, where now the Spirit of God has given me wisdom and understanding to walk in a way that's pleasing mm-hmm. to him.
Yeah, and it's that difference, like what Tammy was saying before we started. You were talking about knowing about someone mm-hmm. versus knowing them.
Knowing them intimately.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You keep going.
You can go for it. No.
You were talking about it. Well, we'd had so many conversations before. I'm not even sure which track we were talking about, marriage. We're talking about marriage. Yeah, because I don't know if it's an analogy that you chose to use on Sunday, but I do think it's a good analogy. Like, no, I don't know anybody like I know Andy. And so we want to not just someone, you know him in your head, mm-hmm. like you, you know who he is, you know where he works, you know who his children are. But I have the privilege of knowing him as his bride, and we have that privilege. We can know God, and we can, but work has to happen to do that. It doesn't just happen by osmosis. We don't lay our head on God's word and we know him. And so it's such a tension because we don't want to give people a list of to-dos, yet there are some basic principles we can do to know God, to seek to know him. So,
or evidence that says you know him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when it's a to-do list, and mm-hmm. that's a tension we all wrestle with, mm-hmm. We tend to look at it as if I do these things, then I'm good. Mm-hmm. Versus, I think, Joe, as you said it well, the evidence, it's more as I'm seeking to know God. Mm-hmm. I talked about the song In the Secret.
Yeah, that's a good song.
I love that song. One of my 90s worship songs. But
I
the chorus
to
says
sing it.
The chorus what?
I want us to sing it.
Okay, all right. Well,
not here.
But the chorus says, I want to know you.
Right.
I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. Mm-hmm. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. Like there's a level of maybe I have to ask myself,
do I want it?
And am I running after that type of knowing God? Because if I'm not running to hear him, mm-hmm. to touch him, and by touch, obviously we're not talking a physical, like I touched Joe, mm-hmm. more the touch of like I'm in contact with him emotionally, mm-hmm. relationally, like we're there, like I feel like he knows me and I know him, and there's an intimacy, like you said, Tammy. Mm-hmm. Out of that flows these things. Mm-hmm. And so there's a place to say, I want to look at this and say, how am I doing at the works that God wants me to do? How am I doing at manifesting thankfulness and joy and patience and mm-hmm. endurance. And all those things? And there's a good place for that. But if we approach it with, I'm just looking at these lists and I'm just going to work on doing these things, mm-hmm. we miss the gospel. Mm-hmm. That becomes about me.
Yeah.
But when I look at them and say, as I seek Paul's first part of his prayer, the knowledge of God's will mm-hmm. to know God intimately, to know the spiritual wisdom, because the Holy Spirit, I'm in tune with the Holy Spirit inside of me, mm-hmm. giving me wisdom and understanding, that's how I walk worthy. Mm-hmm. That's how I bear fruit. That's how I have patience. Yeah. That's how I have endurance and joy and thankfulness. And this is, I say this not to brag, but only because it's been encouragement to me. During COVID, I have felt a joy. Mm-hmm. I have found myself excited and even giving thanks for things that God is doing, because even thanking God for it. Mm-hmm. Because I see God doing something. That's not David Baxley. That's the Spirit of God just having mercy on me and giving me the grace. But it also reminds me that that's probably an overflow, though, of me seeking him. Because mm-hmm. if I wasn't seeking him, that overflow of the Spirit wouldn't be coming through that way.
Well, and it's so anti who we are as individualistic Americans to know God's will. We want our will. And so it mm-hmm. really is the first step.
Oh, that's a good word.
Yeah, to know his will.
Oh, this is recorded before the sermon, and that might actually come into the sermon now. That was good, Tammy. That was good.
Oh, well,
I try. But I just
there's so much neon. This is a good chapter, good verses.
What are you saying, Joe?
I just love how it starts with God and then it filters down to us. Mm-hmm. Like it's all about him. Mm-hmm. And then when we know him, when we have understanding of who he is and intimately fellowship with him, he knows us and we know him. There's just all these other things that fall in line where we could beat our head against a wall trying to gain walking worthy mm-hmm. in front of the Lord, or trying to please him, or try to bear good fruit and grow in the knowledge of God. That just sounds like, okay, I'm going to go up against the wall and beat my head against the wall until I know God more. Mm-hmm. When it's this place of rest of first, you've got to know God. You've got to know him intimately. Mm-hmm. And then it just flows down into the rest of your life and all these beautiful things.
But how do we know God intimately? Because I think that's a question that people would ask. So
that's a good question.
If we're saying that that's the picture that he's painting for us, Paul's praying for them to have the knowledge of God and his will, spiritual wisdom, mm-hmm. and to walk worthy. And he doesn't say, he doesn't tell them necessarily how to do this. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming there's an element of that they maybe he knows they know, because of the reputation I already have. But if someone didn't know that, what would be those words that we'd want to say? How do you practically see God's power, the gospel lived out in our lives versus me trying to do it?
I mean, the first thing that's coming to my mind is so often as we put on our masks and we, first thing we need to do is confess that on our own, we really don't want to know God. And so
admit our brokenness.
Yeah, I think we need to just admit our need. You know, one of my favorite verses is, I believe, help my unbelief. And so start there. When we have moments where we realize, I am not desiring after things of the Lord. I am not excited. I am not passionate about what my future holds. I care more about what color I'm going to paint this wall. Yeah, I mean, you know,
I need to paint
a wall this weekend. So that's where that's where that came from. But so I think we need to start with admitting our need and being honest with people.
I think that reminds me.
It comes back to friendships a lot, and friendships happen when we choose to be with people.
Well, and I think, and even before we can do that with people, you're right. We have to start with God. Like that's, you know, we hit a lot about the walking this together, and that is so important. Mm-hmm. But at some point, either walking this forces me to go to God because Joe's pushing me, or I've realized I got to go to God before I can even share how to help me walk this. I think of James, and this is, you talk about the feeling of blame, of like how you hit yourself against the wall. How do I do this? How am I going to make this happen? And I think of James 4, something God's really been teaching me, because I have a tendency to feel that guilt and shame. I'm just not good enough. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just not there enough. It's not like, clearly something's wrong with me. How am I even doing this sometimes? You know, like, and God's been, it's not my works of perfection of getting this right all the time, but it is that even the Spirit of God is in me and it's envying intensely. Mm-hmm. This is James chapter 4, but he gives greater grace. Therefore it says God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And one thing God has teaching me is to just admit, to admit my sin to God, but also to others. James also says here, he reminds us also confess your sin to one another. Mm-hmm. And that is where we can't fully have the gospel lived out in our lives by ourselves, because I can't confess. It's not just enough to confess my sin to God. Now that's where I find forgiveness. But then it says for healing, to begin to walk in freedom, I've got to be honest with others, because there's a humility. Mm-hmm. It's almost sometimes easier to confess our sin to God because we know God already knows we did it. Mm-hmm. But when I confess it to others, I'm admitting my brokenness. I'm humbling myself before God and others. Mm-hmm. And God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Mm-hmm. And even our grow group questions this week, grow group leaders, we ask them like pretty, we asked some tough questions this week. We even ask about our own reputation. Mm-hmm. We ask about what keeps us from that reputation. And so, grow group leaders, I want to encourage you listening to model that humility, to model that willingness to say, yeah, you know, I might be known for a man of God because they see me go to church every week, but maybe they don't know me as much as a man of God because I tend to get short with people at work. Mm-hmm. And to be willing to say, here's where I see the Spirit moving, but here's where I haven't seen the Spirit moving. But grow group, pray for me. Pray for me that I want to confess that sin of my lack of patience. But, you know, patience was in our...
It takes humility.
Yes, but there's freedom that the Spirit begins to move in, that the gospel's work continues to grow in us.
Yeah. It's such a huge challenge. I mean, high school is a long time ago for me, but not as long ago for you all. Think of how much we cared about our reputation as high school students.
Big time.
But do we care about our reputation as children of the living
God?
Oh,
it's so good.
You know, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, and I just think, whenever I think of humility and knowing God, I always think of Moses for some reason, because Moses, it says in the scripture that he was the most humble man in all the earth. Mm-hmm. And then his interaction with God face to face, and even to stand up with God and say, God, show me your glory, is just one of the most powerful scriptures to me, that it takes humility to know God and for God to know you. Otherwise, he'll oppose you.
Yeah, that's a tough, I mean, that's another thing that jumps out to me too, in that God does oppose the proud. Like, he's not for pride. Mm-hmm. Because really, pride says I'm better than God. Mm-hmm. Pride says my ways are better than God's ways. I think if I'm really honest, and what'd you say?
Pride says I'm God.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it says I'm good enough. Mm-hmm. You know, I think one of the things that one of the reasons I know I have to be in grow groups is because I know my pride says David can do this on his own. But I was never meant to, and I can't. Mm-hmm. And so one of the reasons I know I have to not only be in a grow group community, but I have to humble myself a little bit more next and confess my struggles in our grow group community. Amy and I confessing our own struggles in our marriage, our grow group community, or the realness of that, that's where God begins. If I want to walk in the things that he talked about, and just looking at this, we can't do any of this mm-hmm. without two things, in him mm-hmm. and together. The title of the message this week was, In Him We Walk Together. Mm-hmm. Because it does begin with Christ. It is the centrality. It's always about Jesus, because we cannot do it apart from Jesus. Mm-hmm. We're just a club apart mm-hmm. from Jesus. Right. But in him, we still have to do this together. And I think we struggle. Mm-hmm. We can accept the Jesus part because he saved us. Mm-hmm. But now the fact that we still have to do this together in order to walk this, that's a next level thing. And I think if there's anything that has taught me that, though, it's a season like COVID. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things aren't the way I want them. Mm-hmm. And my brokenness comes out of that. And yet, together in fellowship with believers is what helps sustain my focus of my relationship with God
yeah. mm-hmm.
to walk in that knowledge.
Grow groups are going to get real this week, huh?
Yeah, I hope so. And if there's anybody listening to you, I want to, like, if you heard the message, you heard this appeal already. First, grow group leaders, those in grow groups, I want to encourage you, let this week and even this mm-hmm. message and this series begin to really challenge us to get more real in our grow groups, to humble ourselves more in our grow groups. If we want, it's not enough to, I talked about this in the message, it is not enough to know God's will, that we have to still walk it. I use the phrase, it's not enough to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. I still remember like little 90s little symbol, like posters like that when I was in high school. But we've got to help each other do that. And sometimes we actually help each other just talk. And grow groups, just hear this, because I've been there in my own life, hear that as a warning that we need to always be aware of. We can sometimes get so caught up in our grow groups that we grow in the knowledge of God's will, but we forget the whole purpose of that is so that we can walk mm-hmm. worthy and pleasing to him. And we need to be pushing each other to how we're walking, not just correcting or celebrating how we're talking, mm-hmm. like what our knowledge is. We do want to grow our knowledge, but it has no value without walking. Mm-hmm. And grow group leaders, I want you please share that with your grow groups. Talk about that this week. How do we do that? Begin to keep talking about that as we get into Colossians. How do we walk the different things that we're going to get into? We're going to talk about Paul's suffering and how he saw himself as a servant in God. But it's not enough to just see yourself. But how do I live that out in humility? And the next piece, though, I know there are people listening to our podcast or coming on Sunday mornings that aren't in a grow group. Mm-hmm. And practically, there's maybe some... a few spots that are good reasons, but we value grow groups so much at Bethany. We have 30 grow groups going on active right now. There is one every night of the week. There's one nearly every time. Mm-hmm. And so we want to help get you be a part of that. If you're not in one, even if you think there's no way it could possibly work with your schedule, give us a call at the office. Yeah. Call me, call Tammy, connect with us. Help us, give us a chance to help you mm-hmm. begin to be able to be empowered to walk this the way God meant for us to walk this in community so that we see the fruit of the gospel overflowing more and more in our lives. Mm-hmm. You guys are both in grow groups. So you guys want to add anything to that? Like,
yeah, I mean, as I look back over the past year of being in a grow group, even through COVID, we haven't met every week, but I can't tell you. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be at the spiritual level or excitement. We didn't meet for 3 weeks, our grow group.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And then the fourth week we met, and it was just so refreshing. It was like, man, I didn't realize how much I missed just mm-hmm. hanging out with people and talking about the word mm-hmm. and getting to know Jesus more as I get to know other people. And it's you don't realize what you're missing until you go and mm-hmm. get something, and then you're like, whoa, I really need that.
Mm-hmm. And to add to that, Joe, because Joe and I are in a core group together, is the same thing. I think of things that we've done in our grow group continually to say, so how are we going to walk this week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
right? Like we get to knowledge of God, but if we haven't met for 3 weeks, let's be honest, no one's asking me how I'm walking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a laziness that that comes with that with all of us. Mm-hmm. And so I think Joe, you're one of those guys that's kind of always like, so what are we going to do this week? Mm-hmm. Like, how is this going to be different in our lives?
And let's take some action steps here.
Yeah. And we find unity in doing those together and strengthen that.
Mm-hmm. And not to belittle that, because that's all great. And we do want to study and we do want to grow. But just the practical side of how do we love people if we don't know what they need? I think of, you know, when my sister had cancer, and the people sitting in the pews didn't know that. But my girl group ladies, they knew. And they made sure that Andy and the kids were being fed when I was up doing hospice. And so that's another beautiful part of Grow Group, is just that's where the love is seen, when we're doing life together, when we can come alongside our brothers and sisters, celebrate the victories, like you said, if we're helping with a senior graduation party, or coming alongside and doing the hard, watching children when someone's in the hospital. Or it's more than just studying. It's doing life. It's loving each other as we're walking this journey and encouraging each other to do it well.
At the end of the Grow Group questions, in our prayer time, one of the things we say, Tammy, you alluded to this earlier, is how to make this our prayer. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember if I just said about our church, but I want to even say about your Grow Group first. Mm-hmm. The mini church, the mini churches. We have 30 mini churches all over Bethany that come together and make Bethany Church. Mm-hmm. And to pray, if it was Paul's prayer and he hasn't stopped praying for that, mm-hmm. then how do we as a Grow Group maybe commit to not stop praying for that for our Grow Group and then for our own church? Mm-hmm. To not stop praying that we would be filled with the knowledge of God's will, with spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that we may walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing to Him. Mm-hmm. That is just...
And let's throw some Thanksgiving and joy in there, too. Yeah.
Don't stop there, Dave.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I didn't know how far I should read.
Oh, the whole thing.
Yeah,
it's so good.
Yes.
It's just so good. Yeah. Good.
Amen.
It's good. Well, thank you guys for listening or watching, whatever you're doing. This has been actually fantastic.
Thank you for
joining Tammy and David, and pray that God would bless you guys this week, that you would walk worthy in a manner of the Lord, fully pleasing Him.
Amen.